Church, we are blessed this morning by having Kate speak to us. And it seems fitting that on Mother's Day that I make this announcement. as you can probably tell, Kate is with child. And that truly is a miracle, isn't it? Yeah, and Kate will share that with us, her story, at some point. But as church family, we love to celebrate special occasions, and especially when so many of our people don't have their natural family here with them. They're many miles from them. It's so lovely to be church family and to be celebrating these occasions together. And so this is just for the ladies. But ladies, can you put in your diaries Sunday, April the 21st. So in the afternoon, we are going to be doing a baby shower for Kate. I'm going to be blessing her just before the arrival of the little one. So I will be letting you know in WhatsApp message and an email, but just to begin to share that date with you, Sunday, April the 21st. I'm going to pray for Kate now before she comes and speaks to us. Father God, we thank you that you are knitting together this beautiful baby. And we just pray for safety, a safe birth, and Lord, just blessing upon Kate and Toby in this time of preparation. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given Kate to share with us today. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open to hear what you want to say to us. God, we ask you to speak to us today, Lord. We don't want to leave this place, Lord, not hearing what you want us to know, Lord. We just pray that you would help us now to just focus on these words that Kate will bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. And happy Mother's Day to all mothers. This morning, we'll be continuing our series, Good King, Bad King. And today, I'll be speaking on Hezekiah, the praying king. Our scriptures for today will be from 2 Kings chapter 18. And I'll be reading from verse 1 to 8. 2 Kings 18, 1 to 8. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king during the third year. Hoshea, son of Hillah, was king of Israel. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah did what the Lord said was right, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the places where gods were worshipped. He smashed the stone pillars and cut down the Asherah idols. All the Israelites had been burning incense to Nehushtan, the bronze snake Moses had made, but Hezekiah broke it into pieces. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Hezekiah was loyal to the Lord and did not stop following him. He obeyed the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with Hezekiah, so he had success in everything he did. He turned against the king of Assyria and stopped serving him. Hezekiah defeated the Philistines all the way to Gaza and its borders, including the watchtowers and the fortified cities. Praise God. So, by way of introduction, Hezekiah, which name means God's strength or strengthened by God, he was the 13th king of Judah, and he began reigning at 25 years old and reigned for 29 years. Now his dad was King Ahaz and his mom was Abijah, just like we've read. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his ancestor King David, unlike his dad. If we go to 2 Kings 16, we'll see a record of what Ahaz did during his own time. He also ascended to the throne at a very young age of 20, and he reigned for just 16 years. And the Bible did record that he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not do right. He walked in the idolatrous ways of the king of Israel. He even burned his own son in the fire as a sacrifice to the pagan god, something God commanded them not to do. That's in Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 15. So he decided to go against the pathway of God. And at some point during his reign, the king of Israel and the king of Syria did ganged up against him, and they managed to, you know, besiege him, wage war against him. But instead of trusting God, instead of asking God for help, he decided to do something else. He decided to send some gifts from the treasury of God's house. He decided to send it to the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, to ask for his help against the two kings that have come up against him. And in doing this, he effectively subjected himself to become the servant, to become, you know, he made a statement that I am your servant, I am your son, something God expressly commanded them against, that God alone will be your God and God alone will be your king. So he submitted himself effectively to the enemy. But in contrast, Ezekiah did what was right in God's eyes. He opened the door of the Lord's house that his father had shut. He repaired the doors. He brought in the priest and the Levites and commanded them to consecrate themselves and the house of the Lord, to set themselves apart for God, to reestablish the worship of the one true God in Israel. He reinstated the offering of sacrifices of the daily offerings as prescribed in the law of the Lord. And then he wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh and Asher and Zebulun. That's the other tribe of Israel that previously been separated from Judah. He wrote letters to them, inviting them to a national Passover in order to, you know, reunite them, bring them back to the worship of God. And he commanded his people to bring in free will offerings and tithe for the upkeep of the priests and Levites. So all of this background I've given, you can find in 2 Kings 18 to 20 and 2 Chronicles 29 to 32, as well as Isaiah 37 to 39. So those are the books where the story of Hezekiah is recorded. Now, the basic thing about Hezekiah that we'll be considering today is his prayer life. I'll be giving us about 8 points of where Hezekiah prayed, but I'll only be talking on 2 of them. The prayers of Hezekiah. The Bible recorded many instances where Hezekiah prayed, and interestingly, each and every one of these prayers were answered by God. I know some people, there have been times when maybe you've called on God, you've asked God for something, and it seems that it wasn't forthcoming. This is an encouragement for you this morning, that God truly answers prayers. The first time Hezekiah prayed, we saw in 2 Chronicles 29, 6 to 9, and it was a prayer of repentance. He confessed the sins of the whole nation of Israel. He acknowledged that God is justified in, you know, punishing them for all of these wrongs. And he acknowledged that God indeed is the God of all gods and the King of all kings. So he brought the nation back to God in repentance. The second prayer he prayed was the prayer of renewal of covenant. That's in 2 Chronicles 29, 10 to 11. He prepared his heart to bring back you know, the ways of worship, the ways by which God had commanded them to worship him. So he renewed the covenant with God. The third one is prayer of consecration and the physical acts of consecration. Consecration means being set apart for God, becoming, making oneself available, making oneself holy to become the habitation of God. So he did this by inviting both the Levites and the priests to consecrate themselves and to also consecrate the house of God in readiness for worship. And that, of course, leads us to the next prayer he prayed, and that's the prayer of worship. Now, during the time of David, there was a particular way of worshiping that David introduced, and that's worshiping, offering sacrifices and burnt offerings alongside singing, playing of instruments, blowing of the trumpet. And we can see that in Revelation chapter 8, when John was describing the kind of worship that is going on in heaven. And we can read there that, you know, as we pray, as we worship here on earth, there's a fragrance, incense that goes up to God in heaven. And then, in response to our prayers, to our worship, then God sent down lightnings and thunderings, you know, and fire and earthquake and all of these things in response to our prayers on earth. So whenever we worship, whenever we do all of these things, we do it in faith because we know that God is listening and is surely responding. So Ezekiah brought back this style of worship, singing, playing instruments, blowing of the trumpet while the offering is going up. And this is found in 2 Chronicles 29, 25 to 36. The next one is prayer of intercession. So Ezekiah prayed for the forgiveness and the healing of the men that came to join him in worship. I mentioned earlier that the people of Zebulun, of Asher, of Manasseh, and Ephraim, they joined the people of Judah to celebrate the Passover. But because it was like an impromptu kind of thing, many of them ate the Passover without consecrating themselves. So Ezekiah took it upon himself to pray for them, that God will forgive them for doing this and God will heal them. And the Bible recorded that the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and healed the people. That's in 2 Chronicles 30, 18 to 20. Now, after all of this spiritual exploit, he had peace for 13 years. And in the 14th year came the enemy to test him. I remember during the conference we attended 2 weeks ago, one of the things that struck me during one of the sessions was the fact that whether you are doing right, you are walking in the ways of God, you are, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, you are essentially in right with God. It doesn't mean that temptations will not come. It doesn't mean that the enemy will not come to test you. So whether you are doing what God wants you to do or you are disobeying him, the enemy will certainly come to test you. But the good thing about when you are in the will of God is whenever the enemy will come, then you will be able to stand against him. Praise God. So the first thing that happened to Ezekiah was that a large army, a powerful king, came to wage war against him, and that's the king of Assyria. I told you earlier when I was giving an introduction about Ahaz, Ezekiah's dad, that he submitted himself to the king of Assyria to become his servant. He began to give tribute every year to him. He made himself subjected to the same people that God said destroy them. They are not going to be able to stand before you now. He is the one bowing before those people. So it has come to haunt his son now. Ezekiah tried to break free of the rule of Assyria, but now the king will have none of it. He's bringing a large army to come and wage war against Ezekiah. And the second thing he faced in that same year was a war against his physical health. That brings me to the next prayer, and that's the prayer of deliverance from the enemy. That's in 2 Kings 19 and 2 Chronicles 32. I'll be reading a quote from one of my favorite movies, and it's called War Room. It's a 2016 movie by Kendrick Brother. And in the opening of that movie, there was a profound statement that was made, and I'll just read it out. It was made by Miss Clara, one of the main actors in that movie. And she said, "War has been a part of humanity in every age. We fight for power, for riches, for rights, or for freedom. There always seems to be something to fight for, but one thing has remained true of every war. Behind the field of battle, someone has developed a strategy. I find myself amazed that of the many battles we engage in today, be it money, control, or matters of the heart, very few of us know how to fight the right way or understand what we are really fighting against. To win any battle, you've got to have the right strategy and resources, because victories don't come by accident." Hezekiah is facing a very large army from Assyria, Sennacherib. And we'll be looking through what were the processes he took in order to get to the point of victory. The first thing was that he actually made a big mistake. He tried to, you know, use the same strategy that Ahaz, his dad, used. When war came up against Ahaz, he decided to go into the treasury of God's house and in his own house, you know, bring so many gifts, silver, gold, and different things in order to appease the enemy. And we see Hezekiah doing the same thing in 2 Kings 19, 14 to 17. So it was, in essence, bargaining with the enemy. He tried to appease his enemy. But the enemy, you can't appease. The enemy is wicked and unrelenting. He doesn't understand diplomacy. He's not going to let you go. It's not merciful, unlike our God, who is merciful and compassionate. He won't back down. He wants to see you broken, so you don't bargain with the enemy. Rather, you use your God-given authority and trample on him. Whatever it is that is bringing to you, be it, you know, finances, be it challenges in the family, be it challenges in your health, you don't bargain with the enemy. You stand on your God-given authority and you trample on him, just like the Bible says in Luke 10, 19. Don't give a foothold to the enemy. Ephesians 4, 7. And submit to God while you resist the enemy. James 4, 7. The second thing he did was to create the military strategy. That's in 2 Chronicles 32, 2 to 6. He commanded his officials to block the springs flowing out of the city. He said, "Why should the enemy come and find refreshing water? Why should the enemy come and find refreshing water in your home? So block the source, plug the loopholes, repair the bridge, fortify your defenses." That's exactly what Hezekiah did. And we can learn from that. It's time for you to block the source. It's time for you to stand on your feet and plug the loopholes. It's time for you to repair the bridge and fortify your defenses. Next thing he did was to encourage the people. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 to 8. "Let your confessions be that of encouragement and victory. Let the words of your mouth, let it match the victory that God has given to you. While you are still waiting for it, don't despair, but rather let your confessions be positive. Let it be that victory is already mine. Victory belongs to the Lord." And the next thing is prophetic intercession. So he sent a message to the prophet Isaiah to seek the Lord's face in prayer for the remnant of the people. That we can read in 2 Kings 19, 1-4. When difficult time comes, when it feels like you are struggling on your own and you cannot seem to be able to find a way around it, it might be a time to call for someone else to bear your arms up in prayer. It might be a time for you to send for the elders to pray for you. And the last thing is, he humbled himself and sought the Lord in prayers. So after asking Isaiah the prophet to pray for the whole nation, he himself went into the house of the Lord. There was a letter that the king of Assyria had written, you know, to blaspheme the name of the living God, to pose a great threat and to expose the pride of his heart and to make Hezekiah to be so much afraid. But rather than for fear to conquer the heart of Hezekiah, he actually went into the house of the Lord and spread that letter before God, pouring his heart to God, and God answered his prayer because God sent a message to Isaiah the prophet to tell him that, be encouraged. This man that's wrote this letter to you, that's written this letter to you, it's just an empty barrel. He's just making very loud noise. He's not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to cause a spirit to enter into him. He will hear a rumor and he will just live like that. He's not going to shoot any arrows. And that is an encouragement to someone this morning, that whatever it is that the enemy is doing, don't give him a stand. He's not going to be able to destroy you. He's not going to be able to break you. He's not going to be able to touch anything that belongs to you. But you take your stand and go to the God in prayer, presenting all of these things to God in prayer, and expect, be in that position of expectation that God will indeed speak, that God will indeed intervene on your behalf. Book of James chapter 5 verse 13 to 18. It says, is any among you suffering? I want us to open to that. James 5, 18. James 5 from verse 18. Sorry, from 13 to 18 rather. James 5, 13 to 18. It says, anyone who is having troubles should pray. Anyone who is happy should sing praises. Anyone who is sick should call the church elders. They should pray for you and pour oil on the person in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will heal that person. And if the person has sinned, the sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. So the Bible is encouraging us. Are you sick in your body? Call for the church elders to pray for you. Are you suffering? Pray for yourself. Are you happy? Sing praises to God. So in all of this situation, there's always a response that God expects from us. The next prayer Hezekiah prayed is prayer for healing and restoration. And that's found in 2 Kings 20 and 2 Chronicles 32. So Hezekiah became healed with a boy. He was so sick to the point of death, and God sent Isaiah to tell him, put your house in order, for you are going to die. Then Hezekiah took these words to heart, and he went into his inner chamber. He cried out to the Lord for healing. He said, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you, how I have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah left the middle courtyard, God sent him back to go and tell Hezekiah, go back and tell my servant Hezekiah that I have heard his prayers, I have seen his tears. Psalm 56 verse 8 talks about the fact that God, you know, our tears, our groanings, our prayers are so precious before God that he actually keep the tears in the bottle. That's how precious our tears are to him. You have taken account of my wanderings. You have bottled my tears and recorded them in your book. So whenever you pray, whenever you pour out your heart to God, whenever you cry before him, there's a book of remembrance that God has opened concerning you. And your tears are so precious before God. God doesn't waste your tears. He sees your heart. He has opened that book of remembrance before him. And he will surely act on your behalf. So God healed Hezekiah according to the word of prophecy that he sent through Isaiah. And he added 15 years to his life. And in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9 to 20, the last prayer, we see Hezekiah bringing a prayer of thanksgiving and praise after God had healed him. When God had done that thing that you've been asking for, when he finally answers your prayer, don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to return all the praises to him. Don't be like those lepers that Jesus healed. Only one of them remembered to come back to come and thank him. The others, they just went their way. So after all of these powerful prayers and spiritual and physical battle won by God for Hezekiah, there was a prayer he actually failed to pray. And in this part, I'll be focusing more on the mothers because it's Mother's Day. There was a prayer Hezekiah failed to pray. So God healed him. God restored his health. God added 15 years to his life. I mean, let me ask you, if you have 15 years added, if you know that you actually have 15 years to live, what will you do with that 15 years? What would be the focus of your plans for the future if you knew that you only have 15 years to live? So after God had done all of these things for Hezekiah, there was an envoy or a party of noble people that came to visit him from the land of Babylon. And instead of him acting wisely, being patient, being watchful, he just opened his whole heart, his whole house, his treasures, everything. He opened it to them. He showed them every single thing in his kingdom. There was nothing that he did not show to them. And Isaiah came to confront him. He said, "Oh, you showed these people all of these things. A time will come that your children will actually be carried away into captivity to this land of Babylon." And you know Hezekiah's response? He didn't feel bad. He didn't go back to God to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I've acted foolishly. Please forgive me. Don't let these things happen to my children." He said, "He's God. He can do as he please." Now to us mothers. I know it's so hard being a mother, caring for our children, doing everything for our family, being there, being available. But do you actually pray for these children? Do you commit the generations that are even yet unborn to the hands of God? That is the prayer that Hezekiah failed to pray. He failed to stand in gap for his coming generation. And we see the repercussion of this even immediately after he left the scene. His son Manasseh did not walk in the way of God. He just went his own way, and the result of that was that he was actually carried into exile to Assyria this time around. So, God is calling us to stand in the gap for our families. It's calling us to commit our children, our grandchildren, generations that are yet to come, to commit them to God's hands. He wants us to ensure the future of our children in prayer. We see in the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when God, enacted a secured covenant with him. He secured his dynasty in an everlasting covenant with God. And Jesus Christ, in John chapter 7, he prayed for his disciples and those who would believe through them. Let us invest that prayer into the life of our children, into their future. Let us stand in the gap and say no to the enemy. Let us say no to any onslaught from the kingdom of darkness. Praise God. Now, I'll be inviting the youth who have prepared something for mothers. They'll be praying for mothers. Can you come downstairs, please? Thank you. They'll be praying for us because Book of Proverbs says that your work will bless you. Your children, they will arise and call you blessed. So I believe so powerfully that as these young ones will be coming to pray for us, God is listening and is acting on our behalf. Praise God. Can we clap for them to encourage them to come up faster?
We want to make sure all mothers here have an amazing Mother's Day.
The word mother has such a beautiful meaning, meanings like joy and love.
A mother is respected, as it says in the Bible verse, Proverbs 31 verse 28.
Her children show their appreciation and her husband praises her.
A woman of God is highly honored, as it says in Proverbs 31 verse 30.
In Proverbs 31 verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears God is to be praised."
Mothers are excellent people and are blessings in the life of a child.
A mother is a child's best friend, and I pray for every mother in the room to grow a loving relationship with her children today, forever and always.
Mothers are marvelous, godly women are wise, just as it says in Proverbs 31, verse 26.
Proverbs 31, verse 26. She speaks with gentle wisdom.
I am grateful for every mother, and I appreciate their love.
But there's one thing we really wanted to say, which is Happy Mother's Day.
Father Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for their love. We thank you that through them, they brought this life to us. We thank you for their kindness. We thank you for their patience. We thank you for the joy they bring us every day. Lord, bless all mothers and bless all families who have a carer who's there for them in need. Lord, guide our mothers in faith and love, in hopes of one day they will meet you up above. Thank you, Jesus, for answering our prayers. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
In John 16:21, it says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because her joy, a child has born, is born into the world." This tells us how much a mother has worked for us to be here. Thank you, God, for this day, so we can celebrate how important all mothers out there are. A child's mother is their protector and their best friend, so I hope that every bond between mother and child only gets stronger over time. Thank you for all the love and work mothers have put into their child and other people's relationships with them. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
Can all mothers stand to their feet now? Or all ladies, women, mothers to be? I'm going to be praying now. And I will be declaring some prophetic words over you as God has laid on my heart. So can you just rise up? And the men beside them, you can just, you know, put a arm around them, point to them if they are not so close to you as we pray together. Father Lord, we just want to thank you for this beautiful moment. Thank you for your word that's come to us. Thank you because you are raising in our midst mothers of purpose, mothers who will be intentional in raising the kids for God, mothers who won't take no for an answer. Thank you because you are raising mothers who will stand in the gap and push back the present darkness. Thank you because you are raising mothers who recognize that all of heaven's resources are at their disposal and they won't be timid to bring the battle to the front yard of the enemy. Thank you because you are raising mothers that won't back down, mothers of faith, who won't be afraid of the king's edict over their children. They know God has given them proper children, and they will do all it takes to protect them. Thank you, Lord, because you are raising mothers that won't rest or give God rest as they make mention of and call on the name of the Lord over their families, over the nations, over the communities until they see the kingdom of God and the will of God established. Thank you, Lord, because you are raising mothers like the prophetess Deborah, who will arise as a mother in the time of need, who will confront the enemy and tell him you can't come any closer. Thank you because you are raising mothers who won't be afraid to take up a man's responsibility. They won't be afraid to be delicate, to fight. They are silky soft, yet they are powerful. They have inner strength residing in them because their help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you because you are raising mothers who won't fit into a box. Mothers who will defy the hearts, mothers who would tear off labels, mothers who would silence the voice of guilt and shame over themselves and over their children. Thank you because people might have said so many things. People might say things like, you are so delicate, you are so easily broken, but they know that their might is from you. They know that they are no longer gullible. They know that they are no longer vulnerable. They are no longer so easily hurt, but they are who you say they are. That is who God has called them. Thank you because people might have labeled them undesirable. They might have spoken words like forsaken, not beautiful enough, not smart enough, not motherly, not ladylike. But every of this label, Lord, thank you because you are tearing them off. But because that is not who you have called them. You have called them precious. You have called them beautiful. You have called them chosen. You have given them the capacity to nurture. You have made them in your image and in your likeness. In the name of Jesus, I tear off every wrong label people might have put on you. I tear off every wrong thought, every lies of the enemy you might have believed. In your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. We have these treasures in earthen vessels so that the excellence of power will be of God and not of us. You are no longer the person of your past, but you are a new creature, a royal priesthood, chosen by God to nurture, chosen by God to bring forth the next generation. And you will not fail. You will not falter. In the name of Jesus, we arise and we call you blessed. You are blessed of the Lord. You are blessed in the morning. You are blessed in the evening. You are blessed every day of your life. In the name of Jesus, and as a gatekeeper of the home, as a gatekeeper of the family, you will not fail. In the name of Jesus, and we pray for men that are beside them. Lord, we ask that our men, indeed, they will be strong. In the name of Jesus, the enemy will not bring them down. In the name of Jesus, and we pray for love, for unity, in the homes and in bind the family in the name of Jesus. We pray for children that will love God, that will serve God, that will honor God, that will bring us peace and joy all the days of our lives in the name of Jesus. And we pray for children that have gone far away. We declare in the name of Jesus, let the prodigals come back home. In the name of Jesus, we pray for homes that are at the brink of separation, of disunity. We ask, Lord, let the fire of love be reignited again. In the name of Jesus, let the purpose of God be established in families again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. It's in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.